I just wanted to do a really brief summary on ambition in Macbeth. Now, there's already available a great podcast that was done by some of my students on ambition on the whole in Macbeth, but I'm just going to focus a little bit more on Lady Macbeth and why it is that Shakespeare decided to have her channeling the ambition and have her crave power in such a way. So just to be clear, ambition is something that's talked about a lot, but what it actually is isn't normally something we consider to be a bad thing. It's desire, it's determination, it's wanting to achieve something. Now actually, I hope that all of the people listening to this have an element of ambition. But really, it's how Lady Macbeth interprets ambition and the way in which it drives her to manipulate her husband that is wrong, that is corrupted, and that is not how we should be doing what it is that we decide to do. So it's really her fatal flaw. So the Greek term hamartia, or hamartia, here is where you have something and that is what drives you to act in a certain way that then brings about your own downfall. And here it really is her ambition that pushes her to manipulate her husband. And really, after the acts of murdering the king and the way in which Macbeth then spirals out of control, Lady Macbeth softens in a way that the audience hadn't seen her prior. You know, our initial meeting of Lady Macbeth is one really that would have been quite shocking for the Jacobean audience. You know, they're very used to women being portrayed as weak, as submissive, as vulnerable, gentle, kind, maternal. These stereotypes of women are completely shattered by Lady Macbeth in the initial meetings with her. However, later on, we see that through the acts that she has driven with her ambition, she has so much guilt. And later on in the play, we see her falling apart. We see her hallucinating, sleepwalking, and eventually we hear about her suicide as she hasn't been able to take the guilt of the actions any longer. And really, what she desired, her determination and what her ambition was for, even though she got it in the end, she was made queen. Actually, the way in which she went about it, her journey, meant that she could never really have been happy in that position. So we were living in a patriarchal society, if you were watching this as a Shakespearean audience. And a modern audience perhaps wouldn't be as shocked by the fact that there's a go-getter of a female lead. You know, it's something that women aspire to be, you know, to be strong, to not be submissive to our husbands. Now, what she's craving at the start is for this third prophecy to come true. So she receives a letter from her husband that tells her, you know, I've seen these three witches. They said I'm going to be this, this, and this. Now, the first two have happened, which sort of the logical conclusion would be that they're talking sense, these witches, and that actually I'm going to be king. And instead of sort of responding, oh great, like fantastic, darling, I'm very, very proud of you, I can't wait to one day be queen, Lady Macbeth kind of takes it upon herself to hurry that process along. So she is craving social power, and whichever sort of scene you are given, you get an extract in your exam, you always need to be able to link it to other points in the play. And some really important points that I've picked out, some key quotes that I just want to really talk through, is her initial reaction to this news. So in Act 1, Scene 5, she is talking to herself, you know, talking to the audience, and deciding how they are going to make this third prophecy come true. She is ambitious, she wants that status, and she's thinking about how her and her husband can get there. Now, one quote that I've picked out is when she's talking about her husband and she has a fear that he isn't going to get the job done in the most effective and efficient way. And the quote she has here is, she says that he is too full the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Now here, catch the nearest way is being used as a sort of euphemism, okay? So she means to kill the king, but she isn't going to be explicit in the way that she says it. But she fears that her husband is full of milk of human kindness. Now, this is kind of an expression here to show that she thinks he is too gentle and too moral to be able to kill the king. So milk, we've got this maternal imagery here, you know, milk is what is needed to grow and survive. And she thinks that her husband doesn't have what it takes to murder the king. But she has a plan. She is going to pour my spirits in thine ear. So here she's already, she's telling the audience that she is going to manipulate him. She is going to use her womanly ways, her womanly charm. Here the use of spirits could connote that perhaps she has some element of supernatural power. We know that a Jacobean audience would look at a powerful woman and immediately they would be, you know, wanting to call her a witch. We've already seen three witches in this play, so they might be suspicious of Lady Macbeth. But really, a modern audience might interpret this as just that she is going to coerce him. So here with thine ear, so it's representative of the fact that she is going to manipulate him. So he is going to listen to her and he is going to change his way and be like her. Another quote that I think shows her ambition here is, all that impedes me from the golden round. Okay, so golden round, symbolic of a crown. And what this actually means is, nothing is going to get in my way. She calls upon someone or something to make thick my blood, stop up the access and passage to remorse. So here, you know, this motif of blood and sort of the idea of, you know, danger and murder. She wants to be strong enough. Okay, so she's using like physical body representations of her own mental strength and determination. She wants to stop the access and passage to remorse. She doesn't want to be guilty about this. Now, unfortunately for Lady Macbeth, she doesn't have her way here. She becomes riddled with guilt, and ultimately it leads to her demise. There are just two more quotes that I think are important to pick out, and then I will sign off because I said it was going to be a quick one. But look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent underneath it. Now, this is one of the most famous quotes, I believe, for Lady Macbeth. And it is all about the idea of appearance versus reality. The fact that innocent flower is welcoming for the king, natural imagery here, but the serpent, we've got religious imagery with the idea of Adam and Eve and the serpent being treacherous and evil and nasty. So that's a really important one to talk about here, because lots of imagery that she uses. She talks constantly in metaphors as a way of expressing her ideas, which perhaps links to the fact that Shakespeare wouldn't have had them explicitly say what they were going to do, because it would have been so shocking and awful to a Jacobean audience to say, listen, mate, we're going to kill the king. It completely defies the great chain of being and goes against absolutely all of their principles. The last one that I'm really quickly going to talk about is in Act 1, Scene 7, where Macbeth has sort of changed his mind and she is furious. So her ambition is driving her to really be quite cruel and nasty to her husband. And one thing that I've picked out, which really shows quite how ruthless she is I would, whilst it was smiling in my face, ... the brains out. So here I've just sort of shortened and condensed a lot of what she's saying, but she's talking about how she would sort of smash her own baby's skull rather than rather than go back on the word she has given to her husband. So again, shows she is ambitious, she is driven, not necessarily for the good, but really has a lot of power, particularly earlier on in the play, in influencing Macbeth. It is later on when we see her downfall and we see how her ambition has caused the turning of the tide and these events to be set into motion, and something that she then cannot live with. Okay, hope that was helpful.